We complete our short study on dispensations this morning. I'll go ahead and pull up the picture again. Maybe, if I can remember my password. Oh, so we've looked at the first six dispensations. First was innocence, this one here. And that, of course, was prior to the fall. Then we looked at conscience, which went from the fall to the flood. Then we looked at human government, which went from the flood until Abraham's promise in Genesis 12. Then the, call it family, which went from that promise up to the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, which brought in the dispensation of law, the fifth dispensation, one of the longest, went from Sinai to Jesus Christ. And that brought in dispensation number six, the mystery dispensation, not revealed to the Old Testament saints, referred to as the dispensation of? Anybody know? Mark? Grace. This is the age of grace. Gospel of the grace of God, it's called. Paul refers to it as the dispensation of the grace of God, Ephesians. And that is the dispensation that we are in now. And then last week, we looked at this little thing called the tribulation. Little in time, only 7 years long. But, as we saw last week, filled with events and judgment of God. We saw that when we studied through Revelation. That is not its own dispensation. That is an extension of number 5. We'll call it 5A. Which brings us then to number 7, which is begun by, as we saw last week, an event triggered the beginning of each one, and an event triggers the end of each one. And the event that triggers the beginning of the seventh dispensation, of course, is the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. We saw that in Revelation 19 last week, where he returns to the earth with his saints on a white horse and executes judgment upon the nations, including Israel. And then we see in chapter 20 what happens next. Who would read verses 1 through 6? And we'll be introduced to the seventh dispensation. We'll call it the dispensation of righteousness, or the kingdom. Anybody? Thank you, Beryl. Amen. All right, let's pray and get started. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to study your word. Bless as we study it together this morning. I pray you'd grow us. I pray you'd guide us in your truth, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. We ask it in his wonderful name. Amen. So is there any question how long this dispensation lasts based on the passage that Beryl just read? How long does it last? Somebody? 1,000 years. Six times in these six verses, the phrase 1,000 years shows up. That is the length of this seventh dispensation, the dispensation of righteousness, dispensation of the kingdom. You can call it, now it's kind of, you see, we call it righteousness there, or messianic, or the kingdom. You can name it whatever you want. None of these names are official, but we got to name them something.
Now, every dispensation up to now started with an event, but it also finished with some sort of failure on the part of man. Believe it or not, that's even true in this one. If you look at verse 7, we'll see what the failure is. It says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." So even though it is a wonderful time of the curse being removed, Jesus Christ ruling and reigning over the earth, this time of righteousness, there will still be unregenerate man there, obviously multiplying. And since lifespans are so long, and since there's not the same sicknesses and so forth, the earth will populate quickly, and not all of those people get saved. And when we get to the end of the kingdom, the devil's released out of his prison for just a little while, long enough to go and deceive how many? The number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So after living under the reign of Jesus Christ himself from the throne of David in Jerusalem, perfect justice, wonderful living conditions, man still rebels against God. I think it's God's way of just showing man one last time how wicked we are. And it doesn't matter what the conditions are, we're still sinners. And it should just make us that much more thankful for our salvation. Amen. That we found Jesus Christ and we've been rescued from the judgment that will be placed upon us. So this particular dispensation fulfills all those covenants that we studied. Remember when we looked at the four unconditional covenants of the Old Testament? All four of them get fulfilled in this dispensation. Finally. Israel's been waiting for them. Can anybody remember what they are? I know it's been a while since we did this prophecy study, but what was the first one in Genesis 12? You have to speak loud because of the rain. Abrahamic. Good job, Mark. Where God promised Abraham a people and a land. Then came the 2 Samuel 7, Davidic, where God expounded upon this, the first covenant, and said, not only will he have a people and they get their own land, but they will be ruled by a descendant of a specific person, David. And that throne will be the throne upon which the Messiah will rule and reign during the kingdom. That's the Davidic covenant. Then came the Palestinian covenant in Deuteronomy, where God promised that one day they would still get their land, even though they disobeyed and have to be chastised, which has now been almost 3,000 years. They would still possess the land, the remnant would. And then the last one, of course, was the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, where God said he would give Israel a new heart and that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah and go into the kingdom as a nation, and he would rule and reign over them as their Messiah and their King. So all four of those unconditional covenants of the Old Testament get fulfilled during this dispensation, the dispensation of righteousness or the kingdom. And the kingdom will be a wonderful time. And I've alluded to some of the things, but let's just look at a couple quickly. Let's go to Isaiah 2 and just get a brief introduction to some of the conditions of the kingdom, we'll call them, or the millennial kingdom, or the time of righteousness. So who would read verses 2 and 3 of Isaiah 2? Any volunteers? Mr. Scott, thank you.
"And it shall come to pass in the days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established at the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem."
Amen. So we see here that the kingdom will be a time of righteousness because Jesus Christ is the one that reigns. We see that there will only be one kingdom, and that's His kingdom. Also, if you look in verse 4, it says, "And He shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." So the thing that man's been seeking for 2,000 or longer years, he finally gets because the Prince of Peace is here, ruling and reigning. So there won't be war, yes.
Statement from the Charter of the United Nations.
That's right. It's actually out in front of the United Nations. There's a big sign quoting Isaiah about the swords and the spears. And man hasn't been able to bring it about, has he? And he can't. But the Prince of Peace can. And that will all occur at the kingdom. Now let's go to Isaiah 11. And who would read 6 through 9, actually 4 through 9 of Isaiah 11? We'll be introduced to some more conditions of the kingdom. Anybody? 4 through 9? Pastor Shannon?
"And this shall come forth. Thy rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding and fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth in the rod of his mouth, with the rod of his mouth, I apologize, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and the waters as the waters cover the sea."
Isn't that a beautiful passage? All describing this dispensation of righteousness, the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. You can see the perfect conditions that will be there. Look at chapter 35 now of Isaiah. We'll just look at a couple more scriptures this morning. Who would read 5, 6, actually 5 through 9 of Isaiah 35? Any volunteers? 5 through 9. Jackie, thank you.
"And the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. From the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams from the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the way fearing men. The fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there."
Amen. So more descriptions of this dispensation of righteousness for the kingdom. One more in Isaiah. Let's go to chapter 65. And somebody read for us 20 through 25 of Isaiah 65. 20 through 25. Any volunteers to read those six verses? Isaiah 65, 20 through 25. Thank you, Mr. Scott.
"He shall be no more live an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fill his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit it. They shall not plant and another eat. Whereas the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands, and they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessing of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and thus shall be the serpent's meat, and shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
Amen. We'll look at two more chapters, Zephaniah chapter 3, if you would turn there. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 9. Just that one verse. Who would read that for us? Zephaniah 3, 9. We're looking at the kingdom, dispensation number 7. Thank you, Mark.
For then will I turn to the people, for then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent.
So it looks like, remember what happened at Babel? What did God do at Babel? Scattered the people with different languages. It looks like that gets undone, and there will be one language in the kingdom, a pure language. And then lastly, Zechariah this time, next to the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 14. All right, so I need someone to read 4, 8, 9, 10, and 16 to make it easier. We don't have to read them all. So 4, 8, 9, 10, and 16. Can anybody? So who would read verse 4? We'll start there. Zechariah 14, 4. Thank you, Jackie.
And the feet shall stand in that day from the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall appear in the middle thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south.
Amen. Somebody read verse 8. Thank you, Beryl. Mark?
The living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the corner street, and half of them toward the corner street, in summer and winter shall it be.
Amen. And then verse 9, Beryl? Amen. And then verse 16, I'll read. It shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we see that this worship is reinstated. Oh, I forgot to do verse 10. Oh, that's okay. We can do it out. So we see that Jesus Christ, we see where he returns. There's going to be geographic changes. And again, we see the unified worship, one worship that's of Jesus Christ on the throne of David, one language, one nation, just what man's been trying for thousands of years. It all comes to be because Jesus comes to be. Amen? So this will be the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, called the time of righteousness or the kingdom. It unfortunately ends with a failure, as we read there in Revelation 20, verse 7. And that will bring in our final dispensation, which is what we will refer to as holiness, the dispensation of holiness. And I'm not finding it. Oh well. So we'll go back to the right and dividing. So it is the time after the kingdom when God does it all again. And we don't know much about what happens in this dispensation. We don't know how long it is. We don't know a lot about it. But we do know that it's coming. That God's going to start over. And that's in Revelation 21. So let's turn there. And we'll call that the dispensation of holiness or eternity. When God, as you can see there, renovation of the earth, the burning up, and then the last dispensation there, number 8, the dispensation of holiness, which is basically eternity. So who would read 1 through 4 of Revelation 21? Any volunteers? Will we introduce the last one? Pastor Shannon?
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from high on heaven, red as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with me, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away."
Amen. So this dispensation begins with, obviously, that last rebellion, but then comes that final judgment. And we didn't read it yet, but if you look at the beginning of Revelation 20, we have the introduction of the millennial kingdom, or the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ. But at the end of Revelation chapter 20, what do we have? Anybody know? Verses 10 to 15? The great white throne judgment. This is the final judgment. Because after this, it's perfection. That's why we call it the dispensation of holiness, because sin is gone, judgment is gone. Now Jesus is still ruling and reigning, maybe on the new earth, partially in the city of God, descending out of heaven. We don't know much about it. The Bible just doesn't tell us much, other than it will be a time of perfection, that God will burn up the heavens and the earth and make a new one. And that's just after this final judgment, where the dead are cast into the lake of fire, which is a very sad and sober judgment. Now, this has been alluded to in the Old and the New Testament, this last dispensation. If we go to Isaiah 65, we'll see it. And then we'll also look at a couple of New Testament verses. So who would read Isaiah 65, 17? Just one verse. Any volunteers? Thank you, Beryl. So there it is again, a new heaven and a new earth. And then if we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, we're again told that God is going to burn up the earth and do it again. So who would read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 to 13? And that'll be our final passage this morning, because that's the end. 2 Peter 3, thank you, Mr. Scott, 7 to 13.
"For the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But behold, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us all, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt, ferment with it heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. See here that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, moving all and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with ferment heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness."
Amen. And then we don't know what's after that. Honestly, we're going to be with Jesus. That's all that matters. But God hasn't told us much about this last dispensation, just that it exists, that it's after the kingdom, after the final judgment, and that He will give us a new heaven and a new earth. Now, He does make changes to the earth for the kingdom, but that's different. This is actually burning it up and making a new one. So prior to the kingdom, their changes are made. The curse is removed, mountains are moved, rivers are changed, animals are vegetarians, things are changed, but the earth is the same earth. But then, after the kingdom, He burns it up and makes a brand new one. And that leads us into the last and eighth dispensation of holiness. So any thoughts or questions? Next week we dive